Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mission accomplished, says Donald Trump. It's over, as just about as soon as it began, Mark. This whole, we had last night, somebody called in, a couple people actually called into the show because we had not heard that during the show last night, apparently bombs were ordered to be dropped on Syria by the U.S. government. Apparently, I guess France and the U.K. joined
right.
in the bombing.
It's a coalition.
Yeah. And now Trump, according to the Associated Press, has declared mission accomplished for the U.S.-led Allied missile attack on Syria's chemical weapons program. But the Pentagon said the pummeling of three chemical-related facilities left enough others intact to enable the Assad government to use banned weapons against civilians if it chooses. However, Trump tweeted, after the warplanes launched more than 100 missiles, He tweeted, a perfectly executed strike could not have been a better result. Mission accomplished. So there you go. Wrap that one up with a bow. We're all done here. No World War III. Everybody's just going to forget about this, right?
It doesn't sound that way with the talk shows today. I mean, that's all they talked about. I've got to say that he probably could have rethought that whole mission accomplished thing.
Because that's what Bush said back in the day.
And it was really sort of backfired on him. You know, was reminded again and again that mission accomplished probably wasn't the right term to describe Iraq at the time.
Assad graduated from, this according to Wikipedia, the Medical School of Damascus University in 1988 and started to work as a doctor in the Syrian army. So yes, he is a doctor.
There you go.
Now, that doesn't mean that he's not a psychopath. I mean, I don't really know much about the guy. But I'm sorry, what business is it of Donald Trump's? What's going on in Syria exactly?
I think that anybody who would see torture going on could, become concerned with it.
Great. He could tweet about that. He could be concerned with that.
I think that the United States needs – if what you're trying to say is the United States needs to have a strategic plan.
No, I'm trying to say they should stay the hell out of other people's business.
That would be a strategic plan, wouldn't it?
A plan to not – get involved in something? I suppose you could call that a plan, but not really. A plan usually involves taking action.
I would say that if the United States military was going to be employed, it should be employed as escape vehicles for people who are in Syria so that they can
refugees
so they can get out of there.
I think it's just more of a humanitarian issue. It's we need to reestablish ourselves in the world as exactly that, a country, who stands up for the right things and the right thing to do. And that's what we should do.
But is that the right thing to do, to bomb people? I mean, without really knowing what's going on and get involved in other people's business in other countries?
When there's kids getting gassed by chemical weapons, yeah. Yeah, so, it is everyone's business.
If we take your premise, and I'm not going to accept it, but that's fine. If we take your premise,
okay,
then we need to do something about the kids that are being starved and shot and all the other things that are going on in Syria,
you're
too,
right? You're right. And Boko Haram, right?
Yep, and Boko Haram. But don't forget all the Christian militias that are going on in Africa, too. Do you want to stand up against the Christian militias, too? Or is it just for the Christians?
You're right. You're totally right. Whatever the reason it may be, but I think the problem we have here in America is that we've come into a place where apologizing for things has been the norm. We no longer need to apologize for anything that we do.
You wouldn't have to apologize. You could stay the hell out of other countries' business.
You're right. That's a touché. When it boils down to it. It does become right and wrong. I think we've lost our sense of direction. People are taking the wide and broad instead of the straight and narrow. And, I truly believe that, America is a good place, a good country. We just have a bunch of people who think that, we should accommodate to everyone's needs. And, we need structure, but we also need, the other side of the token there. We need guidance, we need structure, but we also have to we also respect freedom too, because it is a privilege.
Well, it's a very confused statement in my opinion, what you just said. Freedom is not a privilege. Well, it should be a right. A privilege is something that you are granted by other people.
Right?
No, privileges are things you're granted by other people. You have to go and ask permission. So, like, the privilege to drive your car on the government roads. They demand that you come and beg them for a, you know, piece of plastic that gives you the ability to drive around without too much molestation by their armed agents. And if you don't, then you will definitely get molested by their armed agents and possibly thrown in a jail cell. But, you know, for all the things that you were just saying.
Freedom is a right. You still have to fight for your rights if you want to have them, though. Agreed, Ian?
Yeah,
you
right.
absolutely
you're,
have to stand up for your rights if you want to have them. Unfortunately, Americans don't do that. All you really have to do to really, you know, ask some questions is to go back in time just a few years to Donald Trump's tweets from 2013 and 2014. In fact, the folks over at, what site is this here? This is Daily Caller. The Daily Caller have compiled what I would call an exhaustive list here, probably 40 or 50 strong, 40 or 50 different tweets that Donald Trump made. Here's one of them from 2013. He tweets to A.S. Browntown, "You want to send more Americans out to war? Why don't you sign up? I am against an attack on Syria, dummy."
Apparently he is, or was.
He was.
Yeah.
And
until it
something changed his mind.
Well, he said that it was the gas attacks, and he's been pretty consistent. He's only seems to react when Syrians are killed by gas, not bullets. This I find to be.
Wasn't there a gas attack during the Obama administration?
Yes, but that was a red line. Yes, there was. Oh, I guess the short answer.
2013,
to
September 9th. He also said, "Don't attack Syria." He didn't say anything about guns or bombs.
You're
or
right.
whatever. He said, "Don't attack Syria, an attack that will bring nothing but trouble for the U.S. forces on making our country strong and great again."
There are areas in France where even the police can't go.
That's false. That's not a true story. That's fake news.
Yeah. I will say this, though, that if you give people a bunch of free stuff and that way they can keep their wives at home and they're not allowed to go out and they have to keep their little heads wrapped up and all that other stuff, then then those people won't progress within the culture. However, if a family has to work in order to get wealthier and make money and these sorts of things, then you'll find out very quickly that the wife's going to be like, "You know what I like? I like blue jeans. You know what I like? I like my kids being able to play soccer without getting called names." And they're going to assimilate a lot faster. It's the handouts that they have in Europe that have caused these enclaves of Middle Easterners that have very high unemployment and these sorts of things.
Yeah, there you go. Blame the Westerners for what the Muslims
do. I'm blaming socialism. That's what I'm blaming.
Well, they don't allow the women to take off the headdress and the body covering. Allow it under their religion.
Son, have you ever lived with a woman? You don't allow or disallow them to do anything. They do what the hell they want. Look, the ladies over there are not beaten into submission. They run their households just like anybody else.
I just wanted to say, like, about this whole Syrian thing and the bombings and all that, I think it's totally ridiculous and uncalled for. I don't know why we always have to play the big policeman of the world and get involved in everybody else's business.
Good question.
I mean, I'm sure that there's... It is, and I'm sure that there's other countries in the world right now that are treating their people really, really terribly, and we're not getting involved in that nonsense.
Yeah, North Korea. How about some of the African dictators?
Myanmar.
Yeah. Countless.
I mean, it's happening all over the place, man. It's ridiculous. And anybody with any type of intelligence would know that, you know, the reason that we're over there and the reason that we're always at war is the same reason why the fascist Nazis decided to always be at war. If anybody knows about that, I mean, it's a fact that that was one of their views. As long as they stay fighting, they'll stay making money.
Well,
and
that,
I believe
was it Randolph Bourne
that, lead.
That said war is the health of the state, I believe? So
yeah,
I mean, the state
they
in general
did.
Wants to do that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. And up until now, I thought Trump was a halfway decent leader, but, like, I don't know what's going on, man. And it's getting crazy. And I don't know why they want to be involved with a war with Syria. I mean, Russia already started talking all this nonsense about attacking us if we did anything. I mean, there's going to be a conflict, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and escalate into something that we don't want.
So you're saying the bankers have control over Pump Trump like a puppet?
Well, they say this about the media, too, right? I mean, like, the bankers are supposed to have control of the media. Is that right?
Yes, they're all the same group.
How come this Rothschild fella has never gotten a hold of Ian and I? I mean, at 180 stations, do we still not qualify at the, you know, I mean, we're two or three in our time slot. We're the only thing that's live on the weekend in America, practically during our time slot. And they've never gotten a hold of us. They've never said, hey,
that's
Mark,
what they want you to believe.
You want a check? Because, you know, like, I remember when people offer me checks. Yeah. I always remember that. I've got a steel trap. When
yeah,
it comes
what is
to
your explanation
stuff.
For that, Ralph?
Well, you said that about rare metals and oil pipelines. Well, most people don't realize that they found oil. Genie Oil Company.
How is that responsive to the question that you were just asked? Did it's you hear not. The question that you were asked?
What?
Try again,
how come the Rothschild or these banking organizations have never gotten a hold of me or Free Talk Live or, I presume, Ian? I don't know if he's telling the truth, but he says he's never been contacted.
They're too busy killing people and making money.
There's so many people that's not educated on the Islam thing.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about
it. They just throw things out there,
yep.
And they have no idea. They listen to little clips here and there. They have no idea. I'm a little educated on the Quran. Not really educated, but I can tell you this. I don't think it's the Quran that I have a problem with. It's the law that a lot of Islam wants to live under. Not all Islam. I mean, Sharia law, I guess, I don't know. Is all Islam want Sharia law?
Well, so Sharia law is a set of rules for Muslims, generally.
Right.
And in the same way that Talmudic law is rules for
Jews,
you know, and most, right. The vast majority of anything, I don't know of any Sharia law that has to do with Westerners or, you know, Christians or anything like that, other than sort of saying you're supposed to live in peace with people who, you know, have different faiths than you.
Yeah, the whole Sharia law thing gets blown way out of proportion by people who are essentially just using it to fearmonger. The Muslims that I know are not interested in imposing their Sharia law on anybody except for their own Muslim families and themselves. The interpretation of this is, you know, different to, you know, the perspective of, do you use Sharia law as a, you know, thing that you've chosen to do as part of your own religious beliefs, or is it something that you've imposed by a government?
I'm a veteran. I'm back from my fifth deployment last year in the Middle East and Southern Asia. And just regarding Islam, I have no problem with the religion. And but back during the beginning of the refugee crisis, and this has to do with the media as well, the leadership of the Islamic State announced to the whole world, and the American media, as far as I know, did not cover this, but they said, we're going to unload 800,000 refugees into Europe, Asia, and the West. And 10% of those, and this was reported, I know BBC and I think NPR actually covered this, that 10% of them were going to be Islamic State soldiers that were going to be integrated within those people. Okay, this is not fake news. This is a real thing, okay? And so this, now we're a little more careful here in the United States about looking at refugees that come through. A lot of the European countries obviously did not evaluate people that came through.
America has always had a group of people immigrating to the U.S. that, you know, they've kind of focused their hate on, first being, you know, the Catholic Irish.
The Irish.
Then the Asians.
Yep.
Jews. And now with the Muslims.
And Hispanics, of course, are also hated these days.
Mm-hmm. So I think the reason that, you know, European countries, you know, it's really hard for these people to immigrate is because they've never really had a history of like having a melting pot type of a country like America. Like with France, you know, in their history, you know, they've had immigration from like, you know, Russia and, you know, things around there, but they've never really had, you know, like a big melting pot kind of kind of community until now, where there's people from all around the world, because we have such a, you know, more globalized world today. And I think that's the problem over there. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Is that true, though? I mean, I've never spent time in Europe, so I have no time, you know, no personal
experience. I've spent a little time in Europe, but I find that to be a fallacy. The idea that you've traveled through someplace doesn't really give you much of a the ability to speak on it.
If you want people to absorb your religion, you probably should let them live closer to you. But whether it's Sharia law or whether it's Christianity or whatever, I don't want any government enforcing religion on people. And I'm not saying that's what the caller was suggesting, but I would find that offensive. So, you know, whatever set of religious code that you believe, that's fine. Go ahead. Wash your feet before you do whatever it is you got to do, or put on a towel or whatever, you know, your religious rites are. Go for it. But just don't force other people to try to follow that. Don't force other people to follow your religious beliefs. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the United States has supposedly a separation of church and state, because it was devastatingly tyrannical to have the state enforcing religion on people.
And no, the reason was because the states didn't want to, the conflict between their religions.
People are certainly free to change their mind. You're right about that. That's true.
It's just that, to some extent, Trump ran as the not politician. I'm from outside. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fix that stuff.
Drain the swamp.
And to some extent, people, you know, I mean, his shtick was he's not going to do what the rest of them did, and he's doing what the rest of them did. I will say, I like Trump for a couple of things that he's done, but you know, and believe me, he was higher on my list than Clinton was. Not to say I voted for him, I didn't, but you know, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Is like, I really wish this guy would stay the heck out of the Middle East.
No, I absolutely agree. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I agree with his changing of his mind and everything like that. I was just bringing up the fact that they, you know, it seems like people in general change their mind all the time.
And that's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, we want to persuade people to change their minds. Like on this show, we'd love to have many of our audience who believes in the ideas of the state and believes in using violence, aggressive violence, to coerce their neighbors to behave in the way that they want. We'd love for people to change their minds and say, yeah, you know what? You guys are right about that. We shouldn't be using aggressive force on our neighbors. We should be using persuasion. If you try to escape from North Korea, if you're, you know, North Korean born, you try to escape and they catch you. Or even if they don't catch you, they'll put your family in a death prison camp, in a starving work forced labor camp. And they will be, you know, lucky if they can pick the corn, the undigested corn, out of, you know, dog s or something like that in order to get a little bit more sustenance in their meals. And I'm not exaggerating on that.
Certainly those stories are out there.
Yeah. It's horrible.
There's not much that can be done about it. I don't know what else.
Nothing besides a total invasion and takeover of that country, unless you can persuade Kim Jong-un to stop the madness. And there's only one way you can do that, which is to sit down and, you know, have some kind of a talk with the guy and, you know, try to build some sort of bridges, because what else can you really do in that circumstance? If you invade the country, more innocent people are going to die. So, you know, you're stuck between a rock and a very ugly, hard place.
What do you guys think? Why do you guys think that? I can't think of the college kid's name. Something Bierman, or the college kid who stole.
Otto.
In one of the hotels. I'm sorry?
Otto.
That was his name.
Yeah, Otto
something.
Yeah. Warm beer?
Yeah, beer wine, right. Or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Warm beer. Right. Yeah, it could be right.
Why do you think? Right. Why do you guys think his parents didn't want to release the autopsy reports? I mean,
that's news to me.
To my understanding, they didn't want to. They didn't. They chose not to. Unless I'm wrong, but I can swear that they chose not to release the autopsy reports because, based on my understanding, they pretty much beat him within an inch of his life, sent him over here, and then he died.
And then he died, that's
so
right.
Like, right, then he died. So I'm thinking, well, I mean, I can understand from a privacy standpoint, yeah, I get it, and I'm sure it's hard enough to deal with it as it is, but I'm thinking, what if they used some kind of poisonous gas? You know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was odd that they decided not to release the autopsy reports. Like I said, I could be wrong, but
quick search.
At the request of Warmbier's family, an autopsy was not performed.
On a quick search here, there is a story from September of last year where they did talk about the condition. His father, Fred, said at the time, quote, using the term coma for Otto's condition is completely unfair. Otto had severe brain damage. No child should be subjected to the sight Danby Kim endured, watching in horror as four men and two women were executed in front of her. Aged just 10 at the time, Danby was among thousands summoned to witness soldiers dispassionately end the lives of would-be deserters from North Korea. Years later, Danby would herself feel the wrath of the cruel regime, suffering inhuman torture for 25 days. And today she spells out the grim and gruesome reality of life in the secretive nation now ruled by power-mad Kim Jong-un. Recalling the executions, Danby, now 26, says, quote, four men and two women were tied to wooden poles and pleading for mercy. Executioners wrapped their bodies in plastic sheets and put stones in their mouths. She says, I heard the clapping sound of shots, saw their agonized struggle, then stillness amongst the blood. I was so deeply traumatized by what I saw that I couldn't eat for days. Danby is speaking out after fleeing North Korea in her late teens. Her brother, a police officer, hasn't been seen for years after being thrown into a political prison. While Danby grew up in an era when Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, ruled, North Korea remains as secretive as ever. World leaders aren't left guessing Jong-un's next move as he issues nuclear threats and trades insults with U.S. President Donald Trump. Danby says, quote, the world knows hardly anything of North Korea beyond propaganda films. We will only learn from real stories from people who lived there. She continued saying, until my last breath, I will carry on working to tell the inside story of North Korea in the name of my lost brother.
Right before the break there was a guy asking about the Warmbier family not doing the autopsy. And then there's a medical reason for not doing it. Because his injuries had been more than a year he'd been in a coma in North Korea. Basically, the autopsy would reveal kind of the order that his organs failed, but since he was in the U.S. under treatment, they already knew what was going wrong, but it wouldn't have been able to reveal the things that happened a year ago. His body just had too much time to heal and recover. So the evidence that you're intimating that would exist just wouldn't have existed at that point in time.
Okay.
Right, so there was some question for listeners just tuning in. Otto Warmbier was the young man in college who went to North Korea on some sort of a trip and pulled down a banner of some sort at the hotel that he was at, propaganda banner likely. He probably just wanted to keep it or was drunk at the time. Who knows what he was thinking. They ended up putting him into some sort of a prison camp, and he ended up, as you're pointing out, going into a coma, and then eventually they let him back to the United States, where he promptly died basically shortly after arrival. And the question was, well, why didn't his parents want an autopsy? And you're saying it wouldn't have revealed anything anyway if they had. So what's the point?
Yeah, they would have been able to like count the number of bones that were broken and that kind of stuff, and then, you know, note scar tissue. But they could do all that stuff. I mean, that was likely already done when they're trying to figure out what was wrong with him.
I mean, like I said, you know, your son was tortured in North Korea. Do you really want to know all of the different ways that he was tortured?
I don't see how people can talk about what other countries do to their citizens. If they get done wrong enough, they can have a revolt and save themselves. I mean, nobody is coming over here bombing America when they normalize heroin usage and count heroin as an opioid, when they guard the opium fields in Afghanistan with our troops so that it can be processed and shipped here. For what purpose? To be sold and normalized. So we need to leave people alone. And the story about the young girl, I mean, what does she want to get look to America for? So she can see Jay-Z? So she can see Beyonce, so she can see the one porn star, and so forth. I mean, we need
Stormy
to stop
Daniels.
Taking our Stormy Daniels. Yeah, we need to stop exporting our filth all around the world.
Okay, so I agree with some of what you've said. I do agree with the idea
that... Don't cut me off, please.
I'm not cutting you off. I do agree with the idea that Americans should militarily keep to themselves. Ultimately, you know, if there's a bad guy running some country somewhere and torturing people, then let the people uprise, let them throw that person out, like his probably going to eventually happen in Venezuela, hopefully sooner rather than later, with Nicolas Maduro there. But, you know, usually these bad characters tend to run their course, and then some sort of uprising happens, you know, Arab Spring or whatever it is we're talking about. We have had a bit of a couple of xenophobic callers here tonight, the fear of immigrants. And the fact is, the United States was built by immigrants, built by people who tend to be more entrepreneurial. The immigrant types, even still through today, immigrants to the United States are more likely than native-born people, by a significant factor, if I recall correctly, to be entrepreneurial types, to people who want to start their own business up.
They'll sacrifice so that their kids have a better life. It's the kids of the immigrants, us, that, you know, have the expectation that everything's going to be given to them.
Spoiled.
You know, that's... Now, I don't think for a second that any immigrant should be given, you know, freebies. I think if you give away freebies...
No, that's welfare. We're opposed to welfare.
Yeah, if you give away freebies, you're going to get the kind of people that want freebies.
Right.
If you give away, if you just give people an opportunity to build a better life for themselves, you're going to get the kind of people that want to build a better life for themselves. And in the process, they will build a stronger, more productive nation. Right now, this economy stagnated at less than 2% GDP growth per year. And you want to see increases? I can tell you how. Start trading out losers in this country for winners and from other countries, and you'll see a big old change right off.
Where'd you guys go to school? You guys go to college?
I went to U of F for a little while.
I went to community college.
I kind of got like a degree in the 12-step program.
Why do you ask? Why does it matter?
Well, I was wondering, I was trying to figure out you guys' way of thinking on things, because
sure.
It's really bizarre to me.
What part is bizarre?
This North Korea stuff. We don't care what the guy does over in North Korea. The United States government doesn't care what he does over there.
Clearly.
What they're worried about, what he's worried about and the United States is worried about is if he develops a nuke, he's going to give it to terrorists. That's the big problem right there. Not whether he's got it or not. It's what he does with it after he's built it.
I'm not sure why he would give it to terrorists rather than keep it for, you know, his own usage. But either way, I can understand the concern of a madman hovering over a nuclear device. But then again, we already have that in the United States.
They'll build more than one.
Yeah.
So
you remember those suitcase nukes that we were supposed to be terrified of about a decade ago?
Yeah,
I mean, whatever happened to those things?
Well, they haven't built one yet.
Oh, I heard that there were a whole bunch of them, and they were just, you know, they were slipping out of the control of Russia. They were being sold off to terrorists a la Winter Soldier.
You're talking about the dirty bomb.
Free men can carry guns. Slaves are disarmed. Now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah, I mean, as a liberty-minded person, again, my philosophy is very simple. You should be free to do what you want, which includes carry guns, do drugs, smoke whatever you want to smoke, put whatever you want in your body, and have the things that you want to have. But
as long as you're responsible for those actions.
So long as you don't actually use aggressive force or fraud against other individuals. I mean, it's very simple.
Well, then we agree on that.
Right. Most people who are sensible will agree on that. It's just they don't really know what a libertarian is because a bunch of these hacks out there like Gary Johnson and Glenn Beck have been claiming that they're libertarians and adding a bunch of confusion into to the mix about what it really means. And being a libertarian is the way most people live their lives. That is to say, leaving other people alone to live their lives how they see fit. That's what it's all about. That's what freedom's about. But if you want to have freedom, you have to, you know, if you want to have freedom for yourself, you have to allow others to also be free. So there's like a lot of people that like the idea of gun freedom because that's one of their important freedoms, but they don't like the idea of somebody being able to smoke a joint. And there's some people who want to be able to smoke a joint, but they don't want somebody to have guns. And it's like, hey, you guys can't have any of that stuff until you allow your neighbors to have the things they want to have and to do the things they want to do.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.